Good evening, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. I'm Saverin, and welcome to Southpaws, episode 430.
So many episodes.
The road to Anthrocon. Savage. We have returned from our great trek north, our yearly pilgrimage to furry Mecca.
Yes.
And we're here in one piece. Well, Fuzz and I are.
The only person I haven't heard back from in our crew is Buck. And I just sort of assume that he landed safely.
I would hope so, because he left earlier than any of us on Sunday.
Because Zia tweeted that he had arrived safely home. So
you messaged us saying that you got home.
Yeah.
Well, you and Ajax, I think.
Yeah. Well, Ajax and I were on the same flight going out and coming back, which was handy because we only had to pay for one lift each location instead of
two.
God, I think about it, it was like we lifted to the airport, we lifted from the airport to the hotel, we lifted to that airport, and we lifted from the airport to home. So that's four. I can only imagine how much more expensive it, because those were $30 or $40 a pop.
Oh yeah, where did you fly out of?
DFW.
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, so the lift from here to DFW was like $40 with tip.
Ooh.
Yeah, and can you imagine doubling that? Yeah. If we had left it like different times, that would have sucked.
So I think this was a really good year at Anthrocon. I had a really good time.
Good.
And the road to Anthrocon in both directions was actually not even that bad this year. Last year, I was caravanning with a couple of friends, and we had some wild-ass weather both in Arkansas and West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Plus, we went through West Virginia, which is exciting to say the least.
Yeah. Did you go the route this time where you just barely, you're in like 20 minutes in West Virginia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, here to Nashville, north to Ohio and across, where you're like, you touch the little tiny little finger at the top.
Yeah, you dip from Ohio into West Virginia for a little bit, and then you're in Pennsylvania within 20 minutes.
It's the weird little finger at the very top, and the city of Wheeling is just, it looks so sad. That whole area is so ravaged and economically depressed.
Yeah, one day I should actually stop there so that I'm more informed about it.
You know? It's just like it's really easy. And it's just like, oh my god,
it's easy for us to be judgmental from the highway, but like when you're coming over that river and all you see is that old dockside warehouse with all the broken windows and stuff, it's like it doesn't paint a good first impression.
And that's like, it's funny too because there's all those buildings and then just a Lowe's. Like, they knocked down a couple blocks to build a Lowe's in its parking lot in the core of the riverside. But anyways, so yeah, the road out there was really easy. I made really good time, though I did get stuck in traffic for an hour in Little Rock because they had knocked power lines down across the entire freeway.
Yeah.
And that stopped the highway dead for an hour. But I had podcasts, and I had music and air conditioning, and had just filled up on both food and fuel.
Oh, good, good.
It could have been a lot worse. Like, if I had neglected to fuel up and was like, oh no, I'm going to run out of fuel in traffic.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
That would have sucked.
That's always a big danger when you're evacuating from a hurricane by road.
Yeah.
Because you end up sitting on a road for like 11 hours. And
then you run out of fuel. Yeah. Then you're really stuck because everybody else is getting fuel. But other than that, like, I only had wild weather a little bit in Ohio on the way in. It was pretty easy.
Yeah. You made good time on the way home, too.
Oh, yeah. On Monday, I left at, like, 8 o'clock, and I got to...
Yeah, you got the fuck out, like, early. And Tyrion was like, don't let me sleep past 11, he telegrammed me. And I'm like, I'm going to be in the air at 11, or at least at the airport, because I was, like, leaving the hotel by 9, I think, at the latest.
Well, because my initial stop point was the city I stopped at on the way in, but I got over to that area by, like, 3 p.m., because you gain an hour going west.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to go further.
Yeah, yeah.
And ended up 50 miles east of Memphis before I stopped for the night.
Right.
And then the road home was easy. Like, the only road scare was around Little Rock, a truck ahead of me hit a bump, and an 8-foot aluminum A-frame ladder bounced off the top of it.
Oh, you told me about that. Yeah.
But I had seen it jiggling, so when it bounced off, I was able to dodge it.
Wow.
That was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Very scary. But that was about it. Like, it was actually a very easy road trip, all things considered. It was like 2,462 miles.
Yep.
Round trip.
It is a long road trip. Round trip, road trip.
And now that we've bored people with our travel, my travelogue, because you flew, you hopped on the plane, you dozed off, you're in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Me, a little bit more driving, a lot of podcasts.
Yep.
The con itself, I had a really good time.
Good.
You know, got there Wednesday and got settled in immediately and didn't have to do shit.
Because I got there Wednesday. What time of the day did you arrive?
I think I got there at like 6.
Oh, wow. So you had time for like a leisurely dinner and hanging out.
I basically went to the hotel room. I think I ended up getting... I just kind of went to bed. Because, I mean, Zia got there early, and then I think Tieran got there much later as well. Because I was actually up waiting for... I had all the keys. So, and then Zia went to sleep. So I had to wait for Tieran.
Oh.
You know, it was nice and easy. Got there, had time to rest, plug up all my shit, get some sleep. And then even then, Thursday, we didn't have to do anything until like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, 3 is when the loading dock opens and the union folks are on the job to help with unloading.
Like, there was a couple minutes difference between me and Tieran getting our cars, and he got up on the ramp immediately, and I ended up having to wait quite a bit longer because everyone, literally everyone was just like...
That was me at that point.
Okay.
Whatever, I drove my car.
Yeah, there was that very slight difference.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, shit.
Like, it was funny because, like, every other year they had had those gates at the beginning of the ramp open, and you just cruised on up there and you got in the car line. And this year, for some reason, there were some cars that were through the gate already and the gates were closed. And the dude was like, this doesn't open till 3. And I was like, well, can I just pull over here to the side? He's like, yeah, fine. And then another person pulls up behind me. And then another person pulls up beside me. And I look around and there suddenly is like 10 cars clustered at the opening of this driveway.
Open, open, open.
And they're starting to back up into the street. And he runs over and opens the thing. And I was like, that's right. Dealers don't fuck around on Thursday at Anthrocon, man. Like, we are ready to go.
Well, because even when we finally did get up there and get our stuff loaded in, we still were in that room for another couple hours because just setting up the sheer number of books that we had.
Oh, yeah.
And ultimately, we, like, gave up and were done because it was just too fucking hot in there.
Yeah, yeah. So in order to conserve electricity, they when the massive dock door is open, they shut off the air conditioner to Hall B, where the dealer's room and artist alley are. And when you're hauling shit around and setting up displays and crap like that, you're sweating anyway, but with the air conditioner off, like...
It honestly felt less hot than last year, though.
Which is weird, because the rest of the weekend was a soupy humid nightmare.
Oh, yeah. The weather this year at Anthrocon was super not cooperative. It was humid as hell and rained all 3 days at random points.
I got very lucky. Like, I didn't get soaked once. I imagine some people probably got drenched.
Oh, man. Just imagine if you were out in fursuit. Oh, man. That would suck.
I mean, at least they're washable. I mean, not all parts of them, though, right?
Yeah. Like, you would washable. Literally have to, like, pop that shit on a dryer and pray, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I cringe at that because those things are like thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get them fucked up.
I mean, hell, remember, like, there's people out there at the con selling pre-made heads and paws, like pre-made partials for like $1,200,
$1,500. Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're there. I admit that I was looking. It's like, does anybody make a skunk pre-made? No. But
I saw somebody tweeting after the con about, I was a good boy and I washed my fursuit as soon as I got home instead of waiting. And then, like, one of the replies was basically what I was going to say. One of the replies was, oh, I wait until it can walk around by itself, but then it gets annoying. It's like, yeah.
But once we got set up and basically, You know, we had a dinner at Sharp Edge.
I always enjoyed that. I didn't do that this time, but I enjoyed that.
It was okay. I got their blue burger. It's pretty tasty. It's
nice.
Blue cheese burger. Then basically we just chilled out and rested.
Yeah.
I wasn't nearly as social as this con as I would have liked to have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still did something social every evening, but I'm like, I could have done more. Except for the fact that, like, on Friday, my batteries ran out super hard, and I went back to the room and went to bed at, like, 10.
I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, for the listeners, I didn't really, quote-unquote, work this con, like, because my back's jacked up. And, like, walking was fine, but the up and down movement of reaching into boxes and handing books to customers and stuff like that probably would have thrown my back out again. So, which wasn't a problem because there were five other people in the For Planet crew that were all working the table. But like, even at cons where like I am working the whole time, I mean, that usually it's a very draining experience. I mean, you're being social all day, you're talking to people all day, you're on your feet, you're running around. I mean, even with those rubber mats, the standing mats that we brought with us, like, it's concrete floor, so just walking around out there is like really hard on the feet and everything. And there's a lot of times I'm in bed by 9 or 10 at a furry con. Sometimes, like, if there's a room party that I've been specifically invited to, I'll be like, okay, after I eat, I'll drag my carcass. And usually after I eat, I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like, the For a Planet room, that must be really happening. And it's like, no.
No.
It's me and Zia and you in bed by 9. Ajax went to bed pretty early, too. And Tieran out till 2 or 3 in the morning,
carousing
somehow, and then being like, you're opening the table tomorrow, thump.
Which, that's generally how it goes.
Fair.
I mean, yeah. Me, Ajax, and Zia, first thing in the morning.
Yeah. You know,
getting dressed and walking over there so we can be there for the trickle of folks. But yeah, like, I knew my batteries had crashed when, like, it basically felt like an adrenaline crash from the first day. Like, I saw a really sad piece of art and it made me want to cry.
Aww.
So I was like, okay, I've had enough today for today. I'm going back to the hotel room.
Aww.
It was this really sad pic of, like, a fox that had died in a field and its little spirit was this glowy rainbow thing and it was, like, looking up at the heavens. And I was like, oh, it's so sad. Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Oh, God, I'm tired.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was in the art show. It was cool, though, because they had, Steve Galachi?
Yeah, yeah.
He had a little art installation. Like, in the art show, it was all
about his originals. Oh, he had, like, that very early proof of Albedo 1 that wasn't for sale.
Oh, none of his stuff was for sale. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he did have stuff for sale in, like, the adult stuff,
mm-hmm.
which he had done, like, Zootopia stuff in his style.
Oh,
which
neat.
I'm like, yeah, at least he knows his market.
Yeah.
But it was just a really cool sort of, like, a museum piece kind of thing, and that was probably the best place for him to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he could just kind of put his shit up on display that's going to be in a protected space that people have eyes on.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Because, I mean, I have some old-ass issues of Albedo that I got way, way back in the day at, like, half-press books, but I never really read it.
Yeah.
So it was neat, though, to see some, like, furry sci-fi early stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, original stuff.
So I barely got to see the art show. Like, I saw maybe 10 pieces altogether. So, like, I got in late to the Artist and Dior's reception on Friday night, which they set aside as, like, this time for the artists and dealers to wander around the art show and have some, like, nibbles and soda, basically. But it ends up, like, quite a bit of it being like, oh, you meet up with people and stuff. So, like, I bumped into someone I knew, like, on that very first row, chatted to her for, like, 20, 25 minutes, continued along, then bumped into two artists that I work with and ended up chatting to them. And then they were like, oh, this is our friend over here. And, you know, and then they were like, okay, we're closing this up. And I was like, shit. I barely saw anything. I didn't see a single piece on the adult side. And I only saw maybe a handful on the general side.
There wasn't, like, a ton in the adult side.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, seemed like there was less this year than last year.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a canvas print of that Rukus did. That was Dev and Lee with their dicks out on the football field.
Nice.
It's one of the illustration. It's just like a fantasy illustration because I'm pretty sure that didn't happen in the books.
Yeah.
Where they don't get naked on a football field with their dicks out. But it, like, the initial price was 60, and then some, like, the first bid was 69. And then I was tempted to bid on it, but ultimately didn't because as a vendor, like, keeping an eye on your fucking bids is impossible.
Yeah, and, like, the bidding for the adult show closes on Saturday.
Yeah,
so that they can do the voice act auction during the dirty hours on Saturday evening.
And I'm like, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, it's like a real narrow window for the adult stuff.
It was like last year I missed out on the Finnick Renamon from Dark Natasha that the original was on the art show.
Oh.
And, or it was an original, or a large limited edition print.
Yeah, she usually does like five of those.
And
like
nine, that one just 12. Got snapped up. But I was able to get the clean version as like a large scale print. Because last year I went to get any of those prints of that Renamon, and they were completely sold out. So I got one this year, and I accidentally purchased that cute Finnick with the mouse picture that she did a second time, because I'm pretty sure I bought that one from her at Fiesta this year. So, like, I was going through a box, and I was like, oh, hey, this isn't the one that I just purchased at Anthrocon. Ah, hell. I had this happen to me also, where I purchased a set of stickers from somebody at ACFI last year.
Right. Yeah.
And then this year at Fiesta, I was like, oh, I like these stickers. And I bought the exact same set of stickers again. Oh, my brain. What is wrong?
You should be like, hold on, I have to check my library of furry things app and see what I've bought.
Honestly,
already.
Like, I need to get Delicious Library, but furry art.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, I've done that before where I accidentally double buy prints. This is like twice now that I can remember right now that I've done that. But yeah, Saturday night I went to Burgatory with Scope.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good burger. It's like a burger joint that's more or less unique to the Pittsburgh area, I think.
Yeah, I still haven't been to
it. And they had Impossible Burgers,
which
are the all plant, taste like burgers.
Right.
And they do.
Mm-hmm.
They have the build your own thing. Kind of like how Condado has kind of the build your own tacos.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, it was Impossible Burger with pepper crust with smoked Gouda, spinach, red onion, garlic aioli on a brioche bun. That shit was delicious. And I also really tempted fate and got their fancy shake of the day, which was strawberry funnel cake.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
I took free lactaids. And avoided consequences of my sin. And it was really tasty.
Kind of similar. On Sunday night, I ate at Bill's Burger, which is the burger joint in the Westin. And I was eating with Kadath and Kaylee, and Kadath ordered the Impossible Burger. And they also had massive milkshakes. Like, yeah, I don't know if you saw the picture I took of it. It's like that. It's like it was like a peanut butter chocolate milkshake. The whole rim of it was like covered with this thick chocolate. It's so good. But yeah, I totally popped a bunch of lactaid before eating that.
I mean, I did that on Monday night when I had the Stroopwafel McFlurry, which is, I regret to inform you all, basically just a Heath Blizzard from Dairy Queen, but you can get a bigger one for the same price at Dairy Queen.
Oh, okay.
Cool. That's the thing. It's like the flurries, they come in like sensible sizes, and I'm doing that with quotation fingers.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, oh no, this is underwhelming.
And Dairy Queen comes in fart yourself to sleep sizes.
Hey, I mean, you, for $3.69, you can get one of these fuck huge cups of Dr. Pepper shake from Whataburger.
Right. God.
Panther likes his just Dr. Pepper shakes.
Put a fucking hose in your ass and power something with methane.
It's like, all right, we're going to work the turbines today. God.
I would totally try one of those Impossible Burgers, except for my soy allergy.
I don't know. I don't know if it's soy in it.
I Googled it, and like even like the particular brand that was doing it, like they did have soy listed on there.
Oh.
They had a lot of other non-soy plants, but further down the list, they did have soy, which a lot of things use as a binding agent anyway.
Yeah.
Which surprisingly, like that's what's cool about those cookies. that you bought is that they have no soy. And you can sense the texture difference. Like they don't
have very crumbly.
They don't have that chewy, soft, like Chips Ahoy kind of feeling in your mouth. They have like a more powdery feeling and a little more crumbly because they don't have the soy in there to smooth it out. But I mean, that's not a bad price to pay for not having to deal with the allergy.
Yeah. Also, White Castle has Impossible Burger sliders.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, because I was like, there's nobody with me, so I can't say Saverin and blank go to White Castle. God damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
Saverin and his podcast go to White Castle. So, yeah, I stopped at White Castle in Northern Kentucky, and they had their, I was like, oh, I'll get a couple sliders, and, oh, they've got an Impossible Burger, I'll try that, and it's basically tasted the same as, well, it tasted not quite, it was a little more salty than their burgers, but also, it's this tiny little square that was like $2, when their regular-ass sliders are 79 cents.
Right.
But it was good.
It costs money to eat healthy.
It does, honestly. But, you know, they have to ethically raise the soybeans.
That's right. You know? Yeah, free-range soybean.
And, you know, all that fun stuff. It was tasty, though. And, you know, I can say, oh, I went to one of them thar northerner restaurants.
Yeah. You also stopped at Sheetz.
Yep. Which is basically Quick Trip, but in the north.
Right.
But the con itself was really smooth. I got a couple of badge commissions coming. Moth Monarch, who did the con book cover with the beach thing with like
the hotel mascots.
The hotel mascots and the...
Their fursonas.
Yeah, yeah. The hotel fursonas on it. I got them doing me a Final Fantasy XIV themed badge with Rafa as a red mage, which I'm super looking forward to because I've been playing that class really hardcore since I got back and I'm really liking it. And they are just stylish as hell. And I got...
She's got a cool style.
Yeah, because didn't she also do the all the mascots too? So yeah,
that's why it's kind of cool that they had her do the con book cover, because I didn't look closely right away, and then like on second notice, I was like, oh, all the furry characters that are hanging out at the beach on the con book cover are the hotel fursonas and the convention center fursona. And I was like, that's really cool. And then I'm like, of course, like the same artist. I was like, that's super neat. And every time they added a new hotel, which this year there was like three new characters because more hotels got fursonas or were being used as overflow hotels.
Nice.
They introduced like three more of them.
And then I got another artist, Tikikata. They were in the artist alley, and I was like, all right, you're doing headshots, and your style is cute. So I got another badge coming from them.
Cool.
Then other than that, I got some Foxy Pride pins. They had it like 2-for-20 sale on Sunday, so I got the gender fluid one. I also got the Finnick one. Go on my second lanyard.
Yeah.
So the con this year, you know, everybody loves their enamel pins. It's like the thing nowadays. But everyone's like, oh, but my lanyard is so full. But those sneaky dudes over at Fursona Pins had the solution to your problem. They were dumping boxes and boxes of their lanyards that have their cute little furry characters on them. Well, sure, one lanyard's free, but now you have an entire other lanyard that you can put more pins on.
It's so like buying a charm bracelet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the bracelet's cheap, but then you have to like buy the charms.
Like, oh, yeah. No.
It's a charm bracelet for your neck.
Exactly. They get heavy after a while. Because, I mean, like, you don't think about it, but there's enough little bits of metal that adds up over time.
Right.
Not like appreciably heavy.
Building up those neck muscles so you're swole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you get that thick-ass Thanos neck.
Oh, man. Well, guess can't do that anymore. But the con itself was really smooth. We met fans. I was like randomly browsing in the vendor hall, and I had an artist be like, hey, your voice sounds really familiar. Wait, you're Saverin, right? Yep. It's like, I listen to you all the time. Oh, well, that's cool. It's like, yeah, God, I've for years now. And like, oh no.
Yeah. So I, one of our listeners was on a podcast, and I was like, hi. And they were like, I can't see your badge, but I recognize your voice. Hi, Fuzz.
Other than that, you know, got to meet Vex, Vex Werewolf.
Yeah, that's there's someone I don't really know, but I guess you know them.
She's pretty big in like the angry online furry left, which is fun.
Okay, I follow a few of those folks.
Yeah,
but I'm not I guess fully integrated into the group.
But like, she was the first person I saw stalking around as I got out of my car on like Wednesday. So I'm like, this is off to a good start.
Cool.
And she just recently came out as trans,
mm-hmm.
and was just like, all right, I'm just gonna fucking do it. And thus she did.
Cool.
And has basically is like, all right, I'm here and having a really great validating time. Then I get to go back to the UK where it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Ah, God.
The UK seems worse than the US when it comes to transphobia.
Yeah, I really don't understand why. I mean, they have a bigger tabloid culture, I guess, and shittier people. I mean, like, we're both terribly shitty, but they're, like, shitty in this weird way.
Yeah, it's just... That might not be the case. I don't know. But that's just the impression I get from the media and what I see coming across my Twitter dashboard is that a lot of the really shitty anti-trans narrative comes from England.
Yeah. And it's a lot of it's funded by American evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
So, not big surprise there.
Mm.
As for me, I just dressed femme for the entire weekend, and that was comfortable. You know, I mentioned on the last episode.
339.
339. The episode right before this one.
Yeah, yeah. Take this episode number and subtract one.
Yeah, exactly. That was part of my plan. I was going to say, like, you know, how does this fucking feel? How does this work for me?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked fine, honestly. I mean, a furry con, and this is one of the things that I really love about the furry fandom and furry conventions in general,
yeah.
is that nobody gives a shit. You can dress up how you want, present how you want, and nobody cares. People are walking around in big titty shark girlfriend costumes, so someone wearing whatever clothes they want doesn't really register.
I don't get that reference. Is that a fursuiter? Is that a fursuit of a shark? Or?
Well, I have seen big titty shark fursuits. And I saw – there was actually
– I didn't know if that was like a particular character or something.
Big Titty Goth GF is a on-internet
meme.
Sort of a 4chan-ish thing. But it's also like a trans joke too. It's like why get the Big Titty Goth GF when I can become the Big Titty Goth GF? In any ways, a person I know got themselves – they had a Vaporwave Shark fursuit made.
Ooh.
And they were wearing it around the con, so I got to see them a couple times. And they had,
I can see pictures of that. That sounds like a cool...
It's really cool. It's like pink, white, and blue, and they had some cool shirts and jackets and stuff. It was a partial, but they did a good job, like, selling the idea.
Right.
I'll have to dig that up.
So, speaking of partials, I love the AC arranged for Ben Diskin to have a Haida partial.
Yes.
So, like, there's a picture of him arriving at Anthrocon, and KP is showing him around, and he's wearing a Haida con badge, so he's literally wearing his persona badge, yep. And he cosplayed as his character, you know? So and not just, like, the head and hands and everything, but, like, there's a picture of him where he reenacts a scene from the Agretsuko Christmas special when he's laying on the ground and he's wearing, like, the same shirt and jacket and everything that the character's wearing.
Yeah.
Like, man, I've never seen a GOH that... from outside the fandom commit that hardcore to...
Yeah, he leaned in really hard to
Yeah,
that.
To the aesthetic of the community. Like, yeah, he really leaned into that. And everything I heard was that he was having a really fun time. So I'm like, I'm always glad to hear that when like bring someone in from the outside, show them a good time, and then they go back to their larger mainstream following. They're like, holy shit, I had a great time with the furries. And,
the last, like, 2 years ago when they had a couple of the pony VAs come to Anthrocon, they had a great time, too.
Awesome, awesome.
So, I mean, it wasn't like... The Anthrocon seems to show their guests a really good time, which is good.
Yeah.
They had three this year. They had Sonic Fox, Steve Galassi, and Ben Diskin. So they kind of covered new furry, old furry, and then not quite a furry, but furry adjacent, who seems to be pretty close to being a furry as it is.
I saw the tweet saying someone, oh, we've boozied him, which I guess boozied is now a verb. Meaning bringing a normal person into the fandom and transforming them into a furry and assigning them a fursona.
Hey.
Okay. Well, to be fair, he did say he would be a badger, but then he immediately got inundated with badger lawyer con badges and stuff like that.
It's like, oh,
the other thing he mentioned.
You have chosen well.
So, speaking of Boozy, I finally got to meet him and QM in person. Like, I talked to him via Twitter. For those who don't know, for Planet sponsors, Boozy's Furry Friday monthly posts. So, I got to chat to him a little bit. And I'd mentioned they had this really cute plush in the art show. It was an emotional support badger. That basically it was a little badger plush wearing a support animal vest, and basically it was like, if anybody fucks with you, this badger will maul them for you.
Nice.
And it was like a set of four. It was like a badger, a honey badger, a wolverine, and an otter. And I was like, I would have totally bought it, but like, we already have a badger plush, and our plushies all have names and personalities. And that's what he told me. He's like, you would not believe the number of fucking badger plushes I have. Just one day there was like 10 boxes on the doorstep. Every one of them had a different badger plush inside.
Like, oh, one of us.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh man, that's funny.
So turning back to where we were before you tangented off on partial fursuits, you know, it's weird to say. It's like I was very comfortable the entire weekend. Skirts. I have that one longer dress or skirt that I like. It was comfortable. Nobody was weird, you know, just used the restrooms and all that fun stuff. Obviously, I have the table between me and anybody, but nobody's going to be a dick because I have plenty of time wandering around the con.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was nice. I ran into some folks I knew, and they're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. You know, people I've known for a long ass time didn't even fucking blink.
Safe to say, I am not at all surprised.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, I know it's like a huge hurdle to like get to the point where you're comfortable like expressing yourself outside of your assigned gender in public, quote unquote. But I knew of all the places to do it, a furry
like,
con.
I flat out fucking said that like this is like the tutorial stage where you literally cannot die, kind of thing.
I'm almost like, yeah, I'm just proud of our community because it's totally a place where you can show up and do something different or experiment a little with your look or whatnot. And
you know, I had like emergency packed regular ass clothing in case I chickened out, and I was a little bit of a ball anxiety on Friday, but I didn't, and I did it, and I was wore skirts all 3 days, and it was nice.
You could have borrowed a Xanax if you needed.
I think a part of my like adrenaline crash on Friday was just kind of the weight of the day coming down on me at once, even though it was
probably
because it's just like
that, and also just the crush of people.
Very true. It was just one of those things where I did the thing.
Yeah. Thump. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to see Jade. I got to see a bunch of folks I knew. And like I said, nobody blinked. It was nice.
I mean, I'm sure they did a bench, otherwise their eyes would dry out and that would be awkward.
They have these weird raisins in their skull. But you know what I mean. So it was a good, very educational to myself, finding boundaries and pushing against them and exploring oneself. It was nice. So I am grateful for the community and the fandom and the cons in general, where people don't give a shit and you can just be yourself. And unfortunately, the world is not nearly so cool.
No.
Which is why I just got to keep pushing it.
Yeah. Fuck them into the future.
It's like, we are going to drag you into the future, old man. Like, there was some old fart today writing yet another article about how the singular they bothered them. It was like some 70-year-old fart.
Oh,
I was like,
so
grow up, old man.
I happened to, like, I was looking at Twitter and I saw Ursula Vernon repeatedly replying to people with the link to this article about the singular they has been in use since the 14th century. Like, sort of like, this isn't a new thing, you know? It's just so dumb. If you stop and think about it, like, if you ever refer to someone and you don't see them clearly, you don't refer to them by a gendered pronoun, you know, you're in a restaurant, you're like, I'll have what they're having, you know? This has been a part of our language, like, forever. And people being weird about it, I don't know.
I saw one of the replies is like, so if someone cuts you off on the freeway, do you say, he or she cut me off? No, you say they.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That rat bastard cut me off. Douche is also gender neutral.
Yeah.
They call me a cock knocker.
Hey, kids, it's Mark Hamill. Applause. That's a reference.
Yeah. Is it a reference? It is. So, sales were good, too. Our new stuff seemed to be well received.
We sold a lot out of a lot of stuff. It was nice.
Yeah, like so many empty boxes at the end of the con.
Which was nice because I was able to stash some of my stuff that didn't quite fit. Like my dirty clothes got into one box and Ajax's dirty clothes went to another box.
Three boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we were able to cart everything home without any like additional obstruction of our limited field of vision.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like about driving to a con is when my car is completely packed and my basically all my windows are useless as far as like...
We were really careful with packing my car both times in that I could see out the right side passenger window and then also see out the back. Like, I don't need to see super much, like, behind me to my left because I have mirrors.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes you still need to check your blind spots. And had enough.
Yeah.
There was enough space there to actually do that, so...
Yeah.
There's been some times when we were driving, like, the Matrix that's been really super full, and that felt kind of sketch because we didn't have a huge amount of space.
Yeah.
But this last time I had basically, like...
Well, when we have two larger cars
like
that, we can spread it out a little bit
more. When it's, like, my car and the Matrix, not Tyrann's Corolla and the Matrix.
Right.
Because there's a vast difference between the two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, It was fun, and people were just coming and getting the books, all the books.
Yeah, like, apparently, like, two whole sets of Fang and Roar sold the first day.
God, there was these kids on Sunday, like, right before the end of it, that they had, they showed up. These were kids that had gotten hold of, like, their parents' credit card or whatever, their debit card. These kids had, like, two pairs of sunglasses, three hats. Like, they'd purchased one furry hat, put another furry hat on top of that furry hat, and then put their third one, I guess, on the collar, because they can't wear three hats at once. That'd be madness. And they were like, I want this, 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 this. And, all right, it's a chip debit card. Goes through. Square says okay.
Yeah. And
it was, like, right before the end.
And well, if you use the chip reader, then
you're good to go.
Yeah.
But there were people that just, like, they come in. This is every year. They come in with these massive lists of books. They've seen things online. This is their one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
And for some folks, the international travelers, it's easier for them to purchase books and bring them back with them to their home country than to purchase and ship them.
Right, yeah.
So,
especially depending on what country you're coming from, because some have, like, longer customs periods. Some, I know one guy, I don't remember which particular country was in, but he was like, hey, my government post office is generally really corrupt, so can you put some of that tamper evident tape on the package? Like, it's a special kind of tape that if you cut it or try to pull it off and place it back, it leaves
shows like void.
Yeah, it shows like a bunch of letters that basically say it's been tampered with.
Yeah.
It's this red looking tape on the outside. And I actually specifically went to the office store and bought a roll of it because I didn't have one. No one had ever asked for that before, but I was like, shit. But yeah, something like that, I mean, provided they could get through customs okay when they got home.
Super valid. So
let's just not talk about shitty politics.
No, let's not. I did want to point out that going on the whole gender and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Vex made a really good long thread that I'm going to like read part of here because she brought up good points and it's really easy to be like, well, yeah, actually, huh? So this is from Vex Werewolf. Vex Werewolf, all one word. And this is basically just passing on some wisdom from British Red Vex gave them. If you're seriously asking yourself if you're trans, you're probably trans. If you think you might not be trans and that scares you, you're definitely trans. Cisgender people don't typically spend much time questioning if they got given the wrong gender at birth. Cisgender people certainly don't find the idea of not having to go through years of treatment, abuse, and discrimination to be true to themselves upsetting. I used to be pretty transphobic, perhaps as a reaction to my own gender issues. Then, once I got past that, I started trying to be an ally. I still maintained that kernel of existential doubt. Sure, other trans people were valid, but me? No, no, I was an imposter, a fraud. Which, to that one, I replied to their initial tweet, the everyone is valid but me brainworm is incredibly cruel. Like, I posted it like 3 minutes before they actually got to that point, but yeah. That was nice. Same page. My feelings were sexual fetishism, I thought. It would be an insult to consider myself trans when other people go through crippling dysphoria and self-doubt and misery, I told myself, while pressing my electric razor into my face so hard I bled just to be rid of my stubble. Real trans people don't have it anywhere near as cozy and simple as I do, I told myself, while obsessively plucking ingrown hairs from my legs with tweezers. Real trans people suffer, and I'm not suffering, I told the man in the mirror, unable to stand the sight of him. Real trans people go through dreadful emotional labor, and that's never happened to me, I said, having been medicated for depression 4 separate times in my life. Real trans people are. Real trans people do. Real trans people don't. But what do real cis people do? Real cis people don't spend miserable day after miserable day trying to convince themselves they aren't trans. They don't need to, they just know. This is what cis privilege is, crystallized, and God, Jesus, fuck, how lucky they are, no joke. I am absolutely, desperately, truthfully so damn happy they have that. Thank goodness they'll never ever have to suffer through going what I did, or what any other trans person does. Do you worry whether you're trans enough to be trans? Well, if you're even asking that question, you're not cis enough to be cis. I spent 31 years lying to myself. Often I'd tell myself that it was too late. But it's never too late. So many brave trans people help me see. You don't have to do anything you're not comfortable with. I'm planning on going pretty damn far with my transition, but you don't have to change anything you don't want to change. Please, accept yourself. I don't want anyone to make the same mistake I did ever again. Your life has fucking value. You're beautiful. You deserve happiness, and even more importantly, you deserve self-truth. Please don't let yourself spend 31 years to reach the point where you believe these things. Don't let yourself spend one more second not believing them. I'm going to bed tomorrow, and I'm going to wake up on day 10 of living a life of truth instead of lies, and we're going to discover who we are together, and I can't wait to see you. And that was their thread from July 9th. Vex is one of those people that's been on a long and bumpy road, and I'm glad that she's figuring her shit out. I mean, 31? Now, I've seen people, you know, you find some of these, see these photos where, like, people are in their 40s and they transitioned, and they're like, yo, I ain't too late. Look at me. There was one of the, I think, one of the devs at Harebrained Schemes, like, transitioned at 42, and they look fine. Like, E does wonders. So, that was good. They had a good time. I got to meet them at the con. They got a photo with them and their crew. So, it was a really good validating time.
Cool.
So moving on to other things that are not super furry, though we're already 46 minutes into the episode.
I guess I was going to say, following up on the trans topic was, I've retweeted this a couple of times, but I figured I'd mention it here, is that Key and Peele are looking to cast a trans dude for an animated feature they're doing for Netflix. It's a casting notice. The show is called Wendell and Wild. The character they're looking for is Raul, animated character, male, 13 years old, transgender, Latino. Raul is a shy and intense kid, a talented artist, and the only boy at Rust Bank Catholic Middle School. He teams up with Kat to help bring her parents back, supporting lead, voiceover only. And they are looking for a trans-masked teenager to play the character.
Cool.
So, you know, check my Twitter, or, you know, if you put the link in the show notes. And I was like, cool. Like, you don't often see a casting call for trans actors.
So specifically trans-mask folks, yeah, too.
True.
Like, more often, like, generally, they're far less noticed than
trans
women.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I don't know if we mentioned this previously, but have you watched the sixth season of Jessica Jones?
I have not.
I mean, the third season, but I'm assuming no. Okay, so there's a trans woman character in it who was played by a trans actress.
Oh.
And it's in the character's bio that the character is trans, but it's never actually mentioned in the dialogue or anything.
Star.
She's just there. And, like, I didn't even know she was trans. And it's just sort of like, oh, hey, you know, that's kind of cool. You know, the trans actress getting work and the character is just there living their life. And it's not that they're making a point of it, you know, because as so often there's the criticism that we always see with any queer characters, like, why does this person have to be gay? What's the point of this person being trans? If it's not a specific story element, then it's invalid somehow. And that's horseshit. So the Jessica Jones crew basically went in that direction. They're like, they didn't have some reason for this character to be a trans woman. She just is. And that's great, because that's the kind of thing that we need more of.
On to other... This is going to be kind of a happy episode. Like, there's lots of horrible bullshit going on in the world politically, and if we tried to cover it all, we'd be here for another hour. But let's just laugh at PETA for a little bit.
Okay. So,
PETA posted a picture of a breastfeeding cow, and the response backfired.
Yeah, apparently people found the cow hot.
They're like, oh, baby, let me have some of that. So... It's a anthro cow, which isn't like super anthro. It's not like they got a furry to draw it, but it is a anthro cow suckling a older dude on her tit.
Mm-hmm.
And
all the comments were like, this is giving me some kind of sexual awakening.
Joke's on you, PETA. We like this. When I'm done sucking the teat, I'm going to eat the meat.
Oh my God. Oh. That
I really didn't want to
weird
have
weird vor and lactation today.
I'm gonna drink even more milk now. That cow got one nice fucking rack.
Yeah. God.
I recently switched from cow milk over to almond milk, but seeing this picture, I'm going to go back to cow milk. This looks delicious.
Okay, so in other news, Captain Picard has a dog now.
Yay!
So there's been like a preview image of the Picard show in which Picard looks like he's been cast as the War Doctor. And he has a like a pit bull mix, which if you look very closely at the dog, the collar has a little Starfleet Delta symbol tag.
It does.
And it has a 1 in it.
Aww.
So the dog's name might be number 1.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So when is that coming out?
It
says next. It's at Comic-Con. They're probably going to show it off because that's apparently next week. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there'll probably be some kind of trailer dropped at Comic-Con. Maybe Patrick Stewart will be there, like they very often do that kind of thing. I don't know when it is slated to actually air. It's
Thursday, July 18th to the 21st is SDCC, so there'll be some more nerd shit. Tons of nerd shit coming out over this next weekend, because it's the 11th, so 1 week from today-ish.
On that note, I have shipped... So Sofa Wolf has ordered some books from me by Tim Sussman and Ursula Vernon. So, like, all of the Collations books, Tower of the Fox, War of the Fox, and, you know, all of Ursula's T. Kingfisher novels, because both of those authors are going to be at the Sofa Wolf Press booth at Comic-Con.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so you can buy books by those authors and get them signed there. Tim is usually out there, but I don't know if Ursula's been before, but... She's usually not at Comic-Con, and this year she is. So, you know, that'll be a really great opportunity, whether you like her for her writing or you know her more from comics, like Digger, Which One to Hugo. You know, you can totally pick up some books, get them signed.
I see. They should totally make a Digger movie, but then also... Like, if they can't get a Mouse Guard movie made, I don't know if they'd get a Digger movie made.
Yeah, and like, so I've never read Mouse Guard, but I know it was a big thing for some people. And, like, I saw, like, the test demo reel that they had, and, like, it looked fucking better than the CG Lion King.
Yeah. You know?
And it's like, they can put out The Lion King, but like they can't take a chance on an original property like Mouse Guard. Like,
it's a damn shame too, because they want something that they can milk in perpetuity, or in the case of the Disney things, just re-up their copyright on the work.
Oh, in this case of Lion King, it can't be that. the movie's only 30 years old. Like, the and copyright is ridiculous amounts.
It's like a billion years plus a billion. It's like 75 years past the death of the author or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's Disney's fault that it's been so extended.
Yeah, because they kept trying to rejigger the system so that the Mickey Mouse copyright wouldn't expire, because Walt's been dead a long time. And, you know, that date has come up and they don't want Mickey to be public domain, which is apparently going to happen in, it's either 2021 or 2024, I think. There was some article about it. One of those years is like a big year, because like a ton of shit drops out of copyright and into public domain works.
Huh.
But so like they're definitely not like, I could totally see them doing that for like really old stuff like Snow White or 101 Dalmatians or something like that, which might explain the TV series on the former. But like I said, Lion King is like, what, 25, 30 years old?
Yeah.
Came out in 94.
I think so.
Yeah. They're just doing all of their big movies as these CG remakes.
And it's really weird, too. So, like, obviously The Lion King is coming out here real shortly.
Yeah.
And it's currently sitting at, like, a 56 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aladdin movie, which is still in theaters, is around the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most people are like, yeah, this is okay, but the critics are very much like, this is not good. And, I mean, everyone's seen the comparison between the Hakuna Matata version of the original Lion King and the current CG one, and it's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, and somebody pointed out that it looks like a National Geographic film with just Hakuna Matata. Makata dubbed over it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, like, and it's really far away. Like, I was watching the trailer and, like, the characters were not really in close up, and it's really like it doesn't have any bright colors or anything, you know? It's like this really bland, kind of desaturated sort of look. It's, what was that game that people were like, your color schemes are beige, beige, and beige? Is it like Fallout or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like watching Fallout.
And
I know. I mean, there's actually a shitload of light variation in nature. Like, in all the clips I've seen of this are just, they're just kind of bland. And, like, you look at, like, God, I swore I was not going to bitch about this movie because I've no interest in seeing it anyway. But just when you see the side-by-sides between the cartoon and this version, it's like the original just has so much life and emotion and expression and, you know, it is interesting to watch. Anyway, some of the critics' reviews I've seen have said that it really is visually stunning and like they've really pushed the envelope and what CG can do. But they've all said that, like, it doesn't have the range of emotional expression.
Well, I mean, they turned Scar from, like, a schemy old twink to a sickly-looking lion. Like, mm-hmm. It's very hard to have a realistic look and also like visually code him as the villain.
Mm.
So he just looks like he's extremely malnourished.
Right. Which I guess would actually be true.
Yeah. I mean, being a like not the lead male or whatever.
Yeah.
He would not get the most food. But even then, like, I don't know. It just seems unfortunate, because the original Lion King is really good and it will hold up for fucking ever. Mm-hmm. Because it didn't overuse CG and it was a lot of hand animated cell work.
Yeah.
And stuff will look good forever. Whereas like this CG is already in the uncanny valley, but it will get even more so in the coming years as stuff progresses.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can do it faster, quicker, easier.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that's why I like, like Star Trek The Next Generation holds up so much better than Babylon 5, because it's all physical model work. Whereas B5 is all CG spaceships. And like that, what was cutting edge for the mid 90s does not look that great today.
It's the blunt edge.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I remember back in the day, like, Babylon 5 looked pretty cool, but they also had, like, the classic sci-fi designs with, like, the checker marks and stuff to give it the illusion of better texture and all that stuff that was really common in 70s and 80s sci-fi illustration.
Mm-hmm.
And early CG to show, like, on a cube, it's like, oh, wait, no, there's it has sides and it's different. Because lighting and checkerboards. But yeah, like, I mean, heck, even... I think if you looked really hard at Battlestar Galactica, it would probably show a little bit of the cracks, even if it was just... It's just ships.
So you mean like the 03 version, I guess?
God, that was that long ago?
That's when the original, like, long two-part pilot came out.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And I think maybe it was, like, 05 before the series kicked off fully.
Fuck, I feel old.
Yeah, I mean, that is... 03 is 16 years ago. Like, yeah.
Well, that was, like, today I was talking to Tesser because they were, like, wrapping up the move out from their apartment. And he came by and I got him his Xbox 360 and mm-hmm. the Kinect and all that other stuff that he'd lent me many, many, many years ago. And I'm not using those at Fiesta anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had the realization that it came out in 2006, you know, 13 years ago.
Here's something that kind of made me feel old. This year is the 20th anniversary of The Phantom Menace.
Oh my God.
It came out in 99.
I saw that, like, on release day at the theater, too.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh my God.
I saw it at, like, a midnight... Like 12:01 a.m. showing.
Whew.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty wild, you know, speaking of feeling old, you know, selling stuff, like, people that are half my age are legal adults and able to purchase anything at this table.
That, also, some of those books.
If like, your badge ain't red, it can be red.
Yeah. Some of the books, like Fang 1, Roar 1, came out, like,
05?
05, yeah. Yeah.
And there were, it was really funny because they were like, wow, there's like 10 of these. Do I have to start from one? And I'm like, no.
Yeah. And I know some people that are like, no, I'm obsessive about this. I have to start from the beginning. And I was like, but none of these stories are continued. It's all different authors. They're all wildly varying themes. So much so that I actually considered maybe ditching the number at some point. And just because like Roar Alice has this like one word theme. Like Roar 10 was community. So instead of saying like Roar Volume 10 on the cover, it would just say Roar Community.
See, you could totally do that and then just put like Volume 1 on like the interior.
Yeah.
So people can still keep that if they want to, but it doesn't give people the idea that Roar 1, Roar 2, it's not like the Roar series. This isn't Final Fantasy here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's not always a Cid and Chocobos. Oh,
so like the next Roar will be 11. And then the one after that, we'll have to call 11-2.
Yes.
Oh, we could do 11-2 and make the theme video games.
Well, it's 10-2.
Oh, 10-2. Yeah,
and
whatever.
Then it's 11,
right.
Then 12, then 13, 13-2, and 13-3.
There's a 13-3? Yes. God, it's so...
Yeah, so the 13, Final Fantasy 13 is the title, and then there's like part 2 and part 3.
Oh my God, okay.
And it's literally 13-3, because we're like, look, we already did 10-2, we can do 13-2, 13-3.
We're like, fuck you, numbers.
Because 13, okay, hold on to your butt here. 11 came out before 10, because 10 was in production for the PlayStation 2. 11 was a PC title. But also mm-hmm. PlayStation 2. Then 12 came out, and then 13, 1, 2, 3, and 15 were also being continually, like, developed at the same time. Then 14 came out, and then what became 15 was previously a 13 title that they kicked up two numbers.
You know what the real problem is here, Saverin?
What?
It is these are Arabic numerals. This is, they are enforcing their Sharia law on our video games, and that's why we should only use Roman numerals. Well, and see, then we'd have like a Final Fantasy 22 by now.
This is also where I note that they use Roman notation for like 90% of their games. Sorry, Fuzz. Your joke would have landed if it wasn't completely wrong.
Like so much of... What the right wing says.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The video games, what the hell, man?
Any other hot new news in video game
world? Final Fantasy XIV is really, really good. It was really funny because, like, everybody I know that has previously played WoW got the emails from them saying, hey, come back for 3 free days of gameplay. Please. Please.
I don't know how they're going to get people back with 3 days. I mean,
well, they want you to check back in.
I like, think you do it on the weekend.
They assume that you're going to... You've unsubbed for a little bit because of the lack of new content, and you can log in and be like, oh shit, this new content is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Except they did it over Shadowbringers Weekend. The new Final Fantasy XIV expansion.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, everybody I have seen that has gotten that email is just, like, posting images of their Final Fantasy XIV character laughing. And that... I did the same thing. Like, when I got that email, I was in the game, and I made my character do the slash laugh emote, where, like, she leans her head back and then puts her head on her head and, like, and just posted that in reply.
Oh, that's funny.
It's real good. Final Fantasy XIV is a big, big time sink to get started, but it's a really solid game with good gameplay once you get into it.
Yeah.
But that's really about it. I have not really...
Oh, there's the Switch Mini, I guess.
Oh, that's, yeah, there's the Switch Mini, Switch Micro. I haven't really looked into it because I have a proper S Switch.
The one funny thing I saw was like, oh, there's the Switch Micro, and then there's like the Switch Pro is an actual TV, and they knocked up a mock-up of it, and it was like a
32-inch television
with the controllers in the different colors on the sides. That's funny.
I mean, it's supposed to be a durable-ass portable Switch.
It seems legit to me if they're like, hey, a large number of our user base actually doesn't use the dock and is just basically using it as a Nintendo DS. And it's like, you want to save $100 if you're not docking this fucker anyway?
Well, and, like, they actually do have a lower price because it cuts a lot of steps out of the supply chain.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of people apparently... This is a millennial thing. As my roommates told me, that a lot of people don't have bother with big TVs anymore. They have their computer monitor or whatever. So
that's how I play my video game, my consoles. My PlayStation 4 and my Switch and all my consoles are hooked up through my capture card, which go into one of my two monitors at my desk.
So, like, I'll be in the living room and I'm watching Netflix on the however big that TV is, like 42 inches or whatever, or
it's big
anyway. Yeah, it's like it's an old widescreen TV, and he checks a laugh at me and be like, you're like this is like the only house of people I know that actually has a TV in a living room that you watch. And I was like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I guess people usually fire up Netflix on their laptop or something like that.
I'll pull it up on my phone, I'll pull it up on my PC at home. We have our app on our Apple TV, but we've had a projector. We've had literally that same projector since we lived in Euless.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was one of our first purchases we got when Panther got his initial good job.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that good, but it was more money than we'd ever had. And right, we're like, fuck yeah, let's get a projector. Fuck getting a big TV. And we got a projector.
Yeah. Well, it's a hell of a lot lighter than, like, because TVs were still kind. They weren't.
They're pretty heavy.
They weren't completely out of the big projector thing at that point.
But we don't have a proper S television in the house.
But I mean, you do. It's just a projector.
Yeah.
The projector does everything that a proper S television
would do. See, I play my Switch mainly docked, but I also bring it with me on trips.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny because I had my Switch with me on this trip. Didn't touch it until Monday night, and I pulled it out of its case fully expecting it to be completely dead and I need to charge it before I can play Mario Maker 2. Fucker was still at 50% after a literal week of it being in its case.
Wow.
Like, holy crap. My laptop dies after, like, a day in standby. So, like, I'm impressed. Nintendo knows how to make their shit, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
like, I know I've left my iPad for a week or two without being plugged in, and it's fucking dead.
Because I was using my watch so damn much over the week for like directions and stuff, I was having to recharge it every single night. Same with my phone.
I do that anyway.
Well, I mean, I do that anyway, but it was not go. It was not like 50%. It was down in like the 20s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if my watch has ever gotten that low unless I've forgotten to it was like one time, like it didn't quite connect to his little magnetic thing properly, and it drained it instead of charging it.
On the way from Pittsburgh to Brownsville, Tennessee, my watch went from fully charged to 12% before I got to the hotel and charged it, because it was, I was using it for directions.
Oh, so it was on.
It was on, and I was being able to look at my wrist. I mean, like, I didn't have to have that for the most part, but there's a few crucial turns that you don't want to miss.
Yeah, and I honestly, unless
you end up in Indiana. God help you.
And I honestly really like how the watch buzzes your wrist when a turn or an exit that you have to take is coming up.
Yeah.
It's like a nice little tactile indicator, because you're not looking at your phone usually.
Yeah, it's like
I don't have one of those dash mounted stands for my phones like Lyft drivers do.
So it's like tap, tap if it's a left turn, and then rapid tapping if it's a right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I never actually noticed. It
differentiates.
No kidding.
But I also had my phone connected to that Bluetooth speaker, which is how I listen to all my podcasts.
Oh, right.
I had it plugged in the entire time. I inherited a Bluetooth speaker from Nightmare Nights is Lost and Found after nobody came and claimed it after like
two the little years. Green.
The little
teal one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had that sitting next to me so I could listen to my podcast through there, because my car, it's new enough that it accepts USB port, and like it'll accept up to a 64 gig thumb drive via its USB port, but it doesn't have an aux in, which is fine because my phone doesn't have a headphone jack, but it doesn't do Bluetooth audio from my phone.
I thought it did.
No. You can Bluetooth phone calls, but you can't Bluetooth music, and I don't know what the difference is that would prevent it. I can get an aftermarket CarPlay set for that, but that would require fucking with the interior of my car.
So
where's
all the
much.
Music come from? Because I've seen soundtracks on your screen before.
Underneath the, in the glove box, there's the little music interface box, and it has a little port that has a USB stick in it.
Oh, okay.
The 32 gig, you know, one of the freebies they send you from Micro Center. It's like, come in and get a free 32 gig thumb drive. It's like $5. But I'll take a free slow 32 gig thumb drive if it, like, showed full of music.
Yeah, and even 32 gigs, that's probably quite a lot of music.
Oh, yeah. Drives. Like, I still have, I think, 10 or 12 gigs free on the damn thing, and it's got a billion songs.
Yeah.
Because it's both Panther and I put music on it. And so he put a bunch of everything. I put a bunch of my stuff on there. And there's still room. And it can read all of it.
That's handy.
It's nice. So I had plenty of podcasts.
Good.
I had been catching up. I had basically been saving all of my non-topical, not like immediately topical ones. Mm-hmm. So like if, hey, we're going to have a discussion on blah that's not like related to stuff that happened that particular week, I was holding it back.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of stuff saved up and ready to go. I'd like the Bonnie and Clyde part 2 and 3 from last podcast.
Yeah.
I had a couple of the Antifada. I had a couple of Street Fight Radio, a couple of Trillbillies. And then stuff came out during the week while I was at the con. So I had further stuff to listen to.
On the way back.
On the way there and back. And that Bose speaker. It's nice.
I ended up using it too. I was doing some work in the hotel room on Tieran's laptop, and I just connected the Bluetooth speaker to my phone, and I was playing my music through it.
And it's just nice to have. So the last little bit, as we're coming up on an hour 15, is I regenerated the join code for the podcast chat room.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And also just flat out made the explicit, like, I updated the rules to be more explicit, because someone was talking about Telegram chats on Snapchat Online. It was asked, like, you know, it's like going into Telegram chats is such a crapshoot because more often than not, it's full of chuds. And Kai Fox, who's a listener and follows us all over the place and is in the chat, was like, Southpaws. And they were like, oh, that name kind of worries me. It's like, no, no, no. There's a reason for that. Well, because the South, they immediately assume, right?
Oh.
And, I mean, that's fair enough because, I mean, Southpaws, Southern, Left, haha, furries, paws, right?
Right,
yeah. You know, it's like, it makes sense if you are working in that furry headspace, but also, whatever. So I explicitly updated our rules to be like, all right, rule zero, this is a not safe for work chat. You must be 18 plus to be here. One, this is very left, very queer, very transpositive chat. We enforce this culture strictly. Two, no oral pornography. Keep the extreme 2D stuff out. Three, don't be a douchebag. If you self-describe as an asshole, we'll take you at your word and remove you. And four, RP elsewhere. And then there's a snouts.online join link that I added. So that is the pinned rules thing that I have just updated today to be explicit in our goal and how we operate the chat room. There's furry porn. But we're not douchebags.
Yeah.
And we take that very seriously.
We're not dicks. We're just horny.
Yes. And there's, you know, a good wide variety of stuff. And the occasional people posting themselves going, yo. Because I not like adult ways, but like I was noting today that I am, my weird ass genetics is somewhat of a blessing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I neared over a week ago.
Yep.
You can barely see them shits. I shaved Sunday morning, and I barely got stubble. So that works out pretty well for me. I'm going to shave this bitch for tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, I can stay clean shaven. It works. It's actually really easy for me now. Like, between the nair and the stuff, it's like little bitty black hairs, very, very sparse. You can't see them on my very tan skin. Works out pretty well. So, Nair, it's pretty good. Just don't get it on your nuts, because that is bad.
I'll just read out an amusing tweet that Ajax sent out earlier. It's not a real live-action movie unless Simba has testicles that react to the heat and the cold.
You know, it's like, look, if you're going to do these super realistic things, but he doesn't have his tiny little lion balls, what's the point? I mean, don't, like, cats love shoving their butts in your face.
Look at my ass. Look at my ass.
Why do cats do that thing? I don't understand. It's like, I like you, human. Here's my butt. At least Adam doesn't do that. He wants to curl up against you. And he has very much not left my side over the course of the last few days willingly.
Yeah.
I shared the video of him very excitedly welcoming me home. And he has been within a few feet of me ever since. So that's adorable. He forgives me for fleeing off for a week. I return to him, and that's what matters. So we should wrap this up because it's past 9 o'clock and we're at an hour 18 raw, which will be shorter than that once I edit out all the word.
Yeah, we don't raw dog this podcast.
Not anymore. We use protection of editing.
Yes.
Because, I mean, honestly, that way no extraneous words make its way out there into the universe. Mm. We say exactly what we intend to.
We have to save the words so that we can, like, chisel out the extra U's and export them to Britain.
Yep. Hey, man. It's the only thing they're going to be able to import in a little while.
Ooh.
What? Sorry, Britain. You've gone down a dark path.
Going to throw out the contact info.
Right. So, you can contact us, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find us on twitter.com, southpawscast@twitter.com.
It's actually twitter.com/southpawscast.
Yeah, I was going on the like snouts notation, where it's like at snouts.online. I'm Savern at snouts.online.
Oh, okay.
But brain.
Right, right.
At yeah. Savern Drake on Twitter. At Savern on Twitch. Also important, there are workers that are going to be striking over Prime Day.
Prime Day is a 2-day event on Monday and Tuesday.
So
workers are going to be striking. So
maybe don't cross the picket line for shitty deals.
Mm-hmm.
You, Fuzz, where can they find you?
I am on Twitter at FuzzWolf. You can find my publishing exploits at FurPlanet on Twitter. Buy books from me at FurPlanet.com. Buy ebooks at BadDogBooks.com. Didn't see me at Anthrocon. Sorry, it's going to be a little while before I go to a con next. It's like, I believe our next con as dealers is Method for a Meet, which is over Labor Day weekend.
And then ACFI.
And then ACFI, Furry Invasion, down in San Antonio in October. And then FurFest in December up in Chicago.
Woo!
Chicago.
Furry cons, they're good, y'all.
Yeah.
All right, so on that note, good night.
And big books.